Patients used to need a treatment plan from their dentist before they could see a dental hygienist or therapist. But all that changed in May 2013 with the introduction of direct access. It's now possible for hygienists and therapists to examine and treat patients without a treatment plan from a dentist. But what are the legal and ethical limits of the treatment that a hygienist or therapist can actually provide? And are there any barriers to their practicing entirely independently? These are just a few of the questions members ask us, which reflect their concerns about the changes and how they will affect the work of the whole dental team. I'm Julie Rossi, President of the BSDHT, and joining me to answer these questions and talk about what direct access means in practice from a legal point of view is Leo Briggs, a dental legal advisor with the DDU. So Leo, what does the DDU think the introduction of direct access actually means for dental patients?
Well, it means that they can see a dental hygienist or therapist without first having to see a dentist and without a dentist's treatment plan. It's also possible for patients to see a dental nurse or orthodontic therapist directly, but only for specific treatments. Nothing has changed for dental technicians.
This all sounds very exciting, but why has the GDC chosen to take this step now?
The GDC began discussing direct access in 2006, and in December 2011 it set up a task group to evaluate the risks and benefits for patients. In the meantime, the Office of Fair Trading published its own report into the UK dentistry market. This found that restrictions on when patients could see a hygienist or therapist were unjustified and likely to restrict patient choice. The Office of Fair Trading called for the restrictions to be removed, adding weight to the task group's recommendations for change in March 2013. These were quickly accepted by the GDC and direct access was introduced on the 1st of May 2013.
Do you feel that direct access is compulsory then?
Well, no. The GDC understands that direct access will not be suitable in all cases. And it's made it clear that it's not compulsory. For example, dentists may not be satisfied that the dental care professionals in their team are sufficiently trained and experienced to see patients directly, and they may want an initial consultation with patients first. Hygienists and therapists themselves might not be comfortable seeing a patient without a treatment plan from their dentist. In this situation, the GDC says that members of the dental team must not take advantage of their position by pressurising others into accepting a task if they don't feel trained and competent to carry it out. We advise DCPs who don't want to take up direct access to discuss this with their employer or practice manager and, if necessary, set out their concerns in writing.
We've found that many dental patients may not be aware that direct access has actually been introduced. So what should practices be telling them?
If your practice is planning to give patients direct access to dental hygienists and therapists, you must provide clear information that sets out the treatments available, the charges, the booking arrangements, and what would happen if a dental care professional can't provide all the treatment the patient requires. Most practices already have a notice board in the reception or waiting room, and that's an ideal place to display information about the different members of the dental team, their qualifications, the GDC registration number, and their role in providing care, which is now a GDC requirement. Information about direct access and its limitations could be included on the practice website and patient information leaflets. Practice receptionists could also take the opportunity to explain direct access arrangements to patients when they are making appointments. The more information you give patients about direct access, the better. This will ensure that expectations of dental care professionals are realistic.
So what would you recommend if a direct access patient needs treatment which is beyond the capabilities of the dental care professional?
The GDC expects all dental professionals to refer patients on if the treatment they require is outside their scope of practice or competence. We advise practices to have clear protocols in place for patient referrals so that all the relevant information is provided. This may include records and radiographs. Referrals will be more straightforward in a multidisciplinary practice where the dental team works together on one site. However, in all cases, you should explain the need for referral and obtain consent from the patient. The referral and patient consent should also be recorded in the patient's records. In the unlikely event that a patient refuses a referral to a dentist, you should explain the possible consequences to them and make a note of the discussion in the records. You could offer the patient a second opinion, but don't be pressured into taking on the procedure yourself if you don't feel comfortable doing so. you could be left in a difficult position if something goes wrong and the patient makes a complaint or claim.
So what do you see as direct access? And what is the DDU's interpretation of independent practice? Do you think they're seen as being the same?
No. DCPs have been able to own and run their own practice for some time now. Direct access only removes the need for patients to see a dentist first. Independent practice is a significant challenge for any dental professional, and we strongly recommend taking professional and legal advice before taking this step. The GDC certainly expects you to research and follow the laws and regulations which affect your work, premises, equipment and business. This includes registration with the Care Quality Commission or its equivalents, complying with health and safety at work law, employment, data protection, taxation, infection control and complaints procedures. DCPs practicing independently will still be limited by the GDC's scope of practice guidance and relevant law when it comes to the treatments they are able to provide. For example, it is currently not possible for a DCP to be a registered performer under the NHS.
You did mention legal limits on what hygienists and therapists can do. Can you tell me more about this? What are your views on patient radiographs, for example?
The GDC has said it believes prescribing radiographs is an appropriate additional skill for dental hygienists and therapists, and it's obtained advice which indicates hygienists and therapists can prescribe radiographs under the IRMA regulations. However, because the regulations include a requirement to report on the whole film, and a dentist is the only member of the dental team who has the necessary training to report on all aspects of a dental radiograph, it's vital that any hygienist or therapist who is taking radiographs makes arrangements for the radiograph to be fully reported on, and that the patient then receives appropriate advice on the report and any treatment that may be needed.
So what about prescribing rights for medicines like fluoride and local anaesthetic?
Well, because local anaesthetic and high concentration fluoride preparations are prescription-only medicines, they can only ever be prescribed by a suitably qualified prescriber, such as a dentist or doctor. Hygienists and therapists do not have prescribing rights, but they can administer these medicines if they have a written, patient-specific direction from a dentist who has assessed the patient. Where they are seeing patients under direct access, they could use a patient group direction, or PGD.
So, as a professional organisation, we have actually produced a PGD template and advice sheet for use by our members. What is your understanding of a patient group direction?
It's a written instruction which allows listed healthcare professionals to sell, supply or administer named medicines in an identified clinical situation without the need for a written patient-specific prescription from an approved prescriber. PGDs can be used by dental hygienists and therapists in NHS practices in England, Wales and Northern Ireland, as well as private dental practices across the UK, with the exception of Scotland. This may change once they are registered with Health Improvement Scotland. But until the Scottish laws concerning the regulation of health services is extended to include independent clinics and medical agencies, the PGDs can only be set up for use in independent hospitals and hospices, not in NHS practices. To be valid, PGDs must contain specific information. You can find out more about this on your or our website or through the MHRA. Legislation doesn't limit the medicines dental therapists and hygienists may sell, supply or administer. As long as the hygienist or therapist is assessed as being competent in the use of the medicine, and there is agreement between all the people who sign the PGD, any licensed pharmacy medicine or prescription-only medicine can be included in a PGD. Particular caution should be exercised in any decision to draw up a PGD relating to antibiotics. A local microbiologist should be included in drawing up any PGD which includes an antibiotic.
So what is the legal position, Leo, with aesthetic treatments such as dermal fillers and botulinum toxin or Botox?
Injectable dermal fillers do not actually require a prescription because they are classed as medical devices. Botox is a prescription-only medicine, but is not considered suitable for a prescription under a PGD. Instead, it must be prescribed by a registered dentist or medical practitioner who has completed a full assessment of the patient. If hygienists and therapists decide to provide these kinds of aesthetic treatments, as with any other treatment, they must be trained, competent, and properly indemnified so that patients can seek compensation if something goes wrong. The DDU doesn't currently offer indemnity to hygienists and therapists for Botox or dermal fillers.
And what about tooth whitening treatments? We know that they can't be provided by a dental hygienist or therapist directly, but why not?
No, they can't. Under the Cosmetic Product Safety Regulations of 2012, products containing or releasing between 0.1% and 6% hydrogen peroxide can only be sold to a dentist and can only be prescribed by a dentist after they have examined the patient. In addition, if the treatment is to be carried out by a hygienist or therapist, the first cycle must be under the direct supervision of a dentist, which means that a dentist should be in the practice at the time the treatment is carried out. Because of this, hygienists and therapists still need a written prescription from a dentist if they want to carry out tooth whitening. Also, hygienists and therapists should check with their defence organisation to ensure they are adequately indemnified for tooth bleaching.
You did mention earlier that direct access would apply to other dental care professionals in certain situations. Can you explain what you mean?
Dental nurses can see patients directly if they are taking part in structured public health programmes such as school fluoride treatments. Dental nurses who apply fluoride varnish treatments under this type of programme should advise patients to inform their dentist. Orthodontic therapists can carry out the IOTN screening either directly or as part of a structured public health programme led by a specialist in orthodontics, a consultant or specialist in dental public health, or a general dental practitioner. Dental nurses and orthodontic therapists who want to get involved with this type of work should be trained, competent, and adequately indemnified. The GDC says that training can be carried out by an accredited external trainer or provided in-house by another dental professional. If that's the case, it should be recorded and verified, usually by completing a logbook.
So one final question then, Leo. Can the DDU reassure dental professionals that it will continue to indemnify those who want to take advantage of direct access?
Yes. The DDU does not make any additional charge for those who want to treat patients directly, but we do need our members to notify us by calling our membership team on 0800 085 614 if any of the work they are doing is under direct access.
Thank you, Leo. As we've already heard, direct access is exciting, but there are still some legislative issues surrounding it. This interview shows that we still have some work to do to iron out these problems for our members, and we will continue to work with the DDU and other stakeholders to make the transition as smooth as possible. It's particularly important for dental hygienists and therapists to understand what they can and can't do without a treatment plan from a dentist, always making sure that they are trained, confident and competent to carry out all tasks they undertake, as well as how they should work together with their colleagues within the dental team. Leo has answered the most common questions about direct access that we receive, but professionals with particular concerns should call their Dental Defence Organisation helpline for individual advice. We hope you found this podcast useful, and we'd like to thank you for listening.